right. Welcome to the Friar Phil Show. Probably wondering why I'm playing Daniel by Elton John. My guest is Daniel. You'll meet him in a few minutes. You know, that song's an interesting song. It's a song about actually a guy coming back home from Vietnam. And it's from the perspective of a younger brother. So it's a really, really nice song. And that's why I'm playing it. All right. A couple of things. Coming up in about 2 weeks or so, I'm going to have a special guest on that a lot of you know. And one of the topics we're going to talk about is cyberbullying, and particularly cyberbullying within the community of Padres Twitter. It occurs. It's not good. It's not fair. And people need to speak up a little bit more when they see cyberbullying going on. And also next week, I have a lady. That's right, a great young lady that all of you know as well. I'm going to keep it a surprise, though, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fantastic interview. She's just a dynamic personality, and I'm looking forward to it. Okay, today we've got Rand Platty, R-A-N-D-P-L-T. His name is Daniel, and he's joining us on the Friar Phil Show now. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, how's it going, Friar Phil? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. So what I'm doing with this podcast is I'm getting to know people that are on Padres Twitter. A lot of times we get together for the fourth inning meetup, the Padres Twitter people that are at the stadium, and we meet up at that point, or we know each other off of Twitter, but we really don't know each other well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm doing this so we can get to know each other a little bit better and be part of a greater community. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in baseball?
Baseball? Oh, wow. Well, I am I'm a pastor. I grew up in San Diego. Recently, I've been in the Bay Area, so I lived in the Bay Area for about 5 years, and just like maybe 3 weeks ago-ish, moved back to San Diego. I've always wanted to go to the fourth inning meetups or whatever, but I would never get to go because obviously I lived in the Bay Area. Now that I'm back, we have no games.
Yeah. Isn't it a bummer?
Yeah. So how did I get into baseball? My dad, you know, I grew up in San Diego, so I think my dad said, he was watching the 84 team, and I would sit on his lap, I guess, and watch TV with him. But I don't remember that. The first season I actually probably remember is 89. But my dad's like a super fair weather fan, so he stopped being a fan of the Padres. But I was still a fan, I guess. So I just kept watching baseball throughout my childhood, I guess. And then my dad actually became a Dodgers fan for a couple years.
Dodgers. The evil Dodgers.
Yeah. And now that the Padres are doing well again, he's a Padres fan again. So weird.
Well, but, always, you know, with every fan base, you get bandwagon people. So welcome to the bandwagon, Dad.
Yeah, except he was a fan before me, which is the weird thing, right?
Goes right back and forth. Right. So. Well, it can get depressing. I grew up with the New York Mets, and you know the Mets, they were the not so good team in the National League for a long time, you know, with a couple of years as an exception. So I grew up with that, and I'm kind of used to loss and failure. But now I'm enjoying the success of this team this year. So
yeah, it's awesome.
So anyhow, I interrupted. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's basically, you know, so I'm a pastor. I'm starting up a new church here in San Diego, I guess. But I did grow up here in San Diego. I grew up, I went to Poway High School. I became a Chargers fan actually later, but now I'm not one of those anymore either.
Yeah, I was too, but as soon as the team abandoned the city, I was like, I'm not really interested in football or anything that's happening with it because we don't have a team. Same thing with basketball. I'm just mainly baseball, and on the off season, well, I catch up on a lot of reading, I guess, because there's not much to dude.
Yeah. I'm like the same way. Same way. Just reading all about baseball all the time. I have no other sports. I don't play many other sports because I'm super nerdy and unathletic. But people are like, why are you so into baseball then? And I'm like, I don't know. I guess it's maybe it's the nerdiest sport I can get into or something. But yeah, so that's basically me. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody called baseball the thinking man's sport at one point. I forget who said that, but that's what somebody said. All right. Now, it says on your profile that you're into analytics. Could you explain to me and to maybe the casual baseball fan that just watches the games and stuff but isn't aware of that word, analytics, or have heard it and don't know what the hell it means?
It basically just means stats, or it's using stats to analyze or figure out different things, I guess, is basically all it is. It uses data, and it's taking a deeper look at what, different players, how they perform and what is the actual value, rather than just, okay, they have a high batting average. It's just like calculating, okay, maybe they have a high batting average, but they need, what else is involved in scoring a run? You got to get on base, you got to drive people in, and then it just breaks all those things down using different measurements and stats to like see, okay, this is exactly how valuable Fernando Tatis Jr. has been, or this is exactly how valuable Manny Machado has been, and to the best of the abilities that they can, right? But because I think baseball is like a very station to station type sport, it's not as fluid as maybe like soccer or football or basketball. They can do a lot more, like they can analyze the game states a lot more easily and say, okay, there's a man on first, there's a man on second, how often does that lead to scoring a run? So if I try to get that, if I create that game state, if I'm then how much runs is that worth? And then so it's basically something like that. I hope that wasn't too crazy.
No, it was a good explanation. Something come through now. Jace Tingler is very optimistic about Tommy Pham right now in his Zoom meeting with the media. Videos coming up later on 97.3 The Fan's website or Twitter. Obviously, this is a recorded program, so you'll have to dig down for that, and maybe Tommy Pham will be up already by the time you hear this, but looks like he might be rejoining the team. Now, I wanted to ask you, what do you think about this Paddock situation? I mean, he put a video up, press conference video the other day, saying that, well, all the fans are against me and they're not with me and on my side, but I'm still here. And it sounded to me like a bruised ego sort of thing.
Yeah.
And for me, well, let me get your take on it first and I'll give you mine afterwards.
Yeah, I think he's only, 24 years old, right?
Right.
So I think for players like that, I can tell all of them are on social media, and I think a lot of us would want him to say, hey, don't look at social media, just play the game and do your thing. Mm-hmm. But for like a 24-year-old kid, they don't have fans in the stands, right? So they want to know that the fans are behind them. And a lot of times they go on social media to go, oh yeah, people love us, like to get hyped up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe that's what he's doing, but then he's seeing some stuff that's maybe not as positive as he would like. And so I do think it's getting to him. I don't think that's a good thing. I think he's got to control that. He's got to mature out of that. But at the same time, I'm not like, oh man, this is so bad, or this is like going to ruin his career or anything. Because I do think he is young. And when you're that young, you're easily going to be influenced by these things. I don't think, I've heard also about his brother feeding him all this stuff. I don't think it's that. I think all the players are probably all on Twitter all the time, right? Not commenting, of course, but they're probably reading. So I bet you he's reading it himself. And he is letting it get to him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's affecting his performance. I hope not. I don't think it is. I think it probably just has something to do with the feel of his fastball and stuff like that. But yeah, that's how I would say it. I wouldn't be too harsh on him. I still think he has a lot of potential.
Oh yeah, and a lot of fans think that way. I think that way. I said it on a video the other day about him. None of the fans are really, maybe there's a couple, but Most of the fans aren't against him. Most of us want him to do well because we need him in that rotation. And I think you're right. You know, a lot of the reaction he gets from social media now is what's feeding inside his head. I don't know what his brother is telling him and stuff, but he's got to get rid of that. He's got to dump out all that crap that's in his head. Go ahead and be Chris Paddock when you're up there pitching and just worry about pitching. You know, get more control over your fastball. That's one of the big things he's got to do. And I think he'll be successful. He's good, you know. First couple of innings, he was rocky the last time, and then he settled in and he looked like Chris Paddock. But, you know, right now, I've demoted him from sheriff to deputy.
because he's
not thinking and pitching like an ace. He's got to leave all that aside and just say, you know, the hell with what people say on social media about me or whatever. I don't care. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to pitch the game and shut them up and do a good job. And I think he's capable of doing that. He just has to, like I said, get the foggy kind of crapola that goes around in his head out of there.
But, yeah, I agree. But some people are demoting him to like security officer or something, right?
Oh yeah, mall security. From sheriff to mall security. Those fabulous people that work at malls and tell you certain things like they're real cops and whatnot. So right now though, I said the other day, and I'll see what you would say if you agree. I said right now for a three-game playoff, if it's just three games, I would go with Lamet, Clevinger, and Davies for my three that I would use. Richards is doing better, but, you know, there's that risk that he gives up a couple of runs, you know, in the beginning of the game. And Paddock, I just can't trust that he's going to take that stuff out of his head, you know, and do good in the three-game series, you know, in the playoffs. So that's my pick. What would your pick be?
I think it'd be the same right now. If the playoffs started today, it'd probably be Lamet, Clevinger, Davies. Who's number one between Lamet and Clevinger? I don't know. I'd probably go with Lamet at this point. But I do think that maybe the last start that Richards had, but he something clicked, right? I don't know, it was like second inning or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like he was just pitching different from then on. I want to see if that carries over to the next game.
Yeah, I hope it does.
Keep that up.
I hope
if it does, then all of our pitchers are pitching well, except for Chris Paddock. But then that'd be amazing. And then we could see a competition maybe between Davies and Richards for the last playoff spot. But that'd be great for us.
The coach on the Coach Quintero show today was talking with Braden Suprenant about Gore and whether the Padres are going to bring him up for the playoffs and stuff. Do you think we should bring up Mackenzie Gore this season, or should we let him, you know, finish up at the alternate training site and then possibly look at doing that next season?
Well, from the reports, it seems like he's not pitching well, right? Where he has like these mechanical difficulties. We've been seeing those things on Twitter about the guy like zooming in from his apartment or something far away and seeing into Petco Park. I don't know if you've seen those things. And he sees, oh, Gore's doing mechanical adjustments. So if he's not pitching well, obviously I don't want him in the majors. We just leave it to next year. He'll be fine long term. But it is kind of difficult because we don't have a lefty starter. And against the Dodgers, you really want a good lefty starter. Right?
Oh, so
that's the only thing that I would think about. But I think before you do Gore, you'd probably give Morey Holm the chance to do that, right? He's been pitching really well. I want to see him get like a full-on start, but I don't know about that either.
Yeah.
They're going to let him do that.
I don't know. I would agree with you. I think it's a little premature wanting to bring him up, but a lot of fans want that. They keep asking for that. I've seen that. I get private messages from people a lot, you know, asking me questions like that and about him, and they just, it's too early let him develop a little bit more, you know, let him go through more of the minor league experience. And I think he'll be a better pitcher after all, you know, after he goes through the motions down there.
Yeah, you don't want to bring him up and then, one, have him cost us important games, and two, even damage his own, like, development, you know?
Yeah.
So that, and you see, Patino came up. He wasn't the most successful either.
Right.
So it's not easy.
Yeah. So. It certainly isn't. It's not easy to pitch a ball. You know, and I realize it's not easy to hit a ball, too.
Yeah.
That, you know, 99 mile per hour ball coming at you. I'd be terrified myself, you know.
Well,
at least at my age now, I'd be terrified. I wasn't terrified when I was a kid and I played it. But
I couldn't hit anything when I was a kid. I remember when I was in Little League, they would like do underhand in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I would smack everything all over the field. And then in game time, the actual kids would pitch overhand and I would strike out every single time.
All right. Yeah. So can you tell me a couple of good baseball memories you have about baseball and maybe games you were at or moments or something like that?
I do remember, maybe this is not a good memory, but for some reason it sticks out in my mind. I went to a playoff game, I think in 2005, when we lost to the Cardinals. and that was the only playoff game I'd ever been to. And that's the only time I saw, like, the entire crowd was like really into it when we got a couple of hits. I was like, oh, I want that again, you know? And I've been craving that ever since. Haven't gotten there yet, but one day. You know, even if we get to the playoffs this year and do well, we won't have that, right? So that kind of makes me sad.
Yeah.
But soon, next year, it'll be. Another memory I had was, playing Little League. I remember I was so bad that I was a Little Leaguer. I was playing second base, and I didn't really... I turned around and yelled at the outfielders, hey, you guys, pay attention. The ball could come at you any second, because they were just lazy out in the outfield and stuff. So I yelled at them, and as soon as I yelled at them, I turned back and the ball was rolling under my feet.
Oh, no. Oh, my.
Yeah. There's a couple of baseball memories I had.
I think my first memory, and I've talked about it on the program before, my first memory is going with my father when I was 6 years old to Shea Stadium and watching the Miracle Mets in a playoff game it was. And I can't tell you who was pitching or I actually can, because I remember it was Tom Seaver that was pitching.
Oh, wow.
And I can recall some of the other names of players, you know, if I think about it now. I'm getting older, so the memory isn't as good as it used to be. But that's one of my memories.
That's awesome.
That was fantastic. And from that point on, I've been a baseball fan. So you're a pastor, and you're starting a new church?
Yeah. So, yeah, our church in... I was at a church in the Bay Area for about 4.5 years, and they're basically sending us down to start a new one here in San Diego, because me and my wife are from San Diego, so like, we want to get back to San Diego, and they're like, go for it. So I think that's amazing. So we just landed here, and we're looking to start a new church, looking to meet new people, stuff like that, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Much luck and success with that.
Thank you.
And, you know, it's good having a pastor around, too, when you have the Padres, because you need to pray a lot for things to happen. I called the Grand Slam last night, though, on Twitter.
I called it?
Yeah, I said we need a Grand Slam from somebody right now to take the lead. And that's what I said in the tweet. And then, sure enough, here comes up Will Myers, and he serves up another grand slam. His second one, by the way, in the first inning of a game. So it's just so exciting. Compared to other seasons, and last year it was exciting until Tatis got hurt. When he got hurt, it's like the air came out of the balloon for the team.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible, yeah.
But this year, it's just
amazing.
So, And it just frustrates me to no end that we can't go to the stadium to see it. It's just my luck and karma, maybe, that we get this COVID-19 thing and we can't go to the stadium in the year that the Padres are playing their best and going to playoffs. It's just my luck. Yeah. But how do you think we're going to fare in the playoffs? We're going to play, it looks like we'd play Philadelphia, the Phillies.
Yeah. I think the way the team looks right now, I think we're going to do well. But I don't know. I'm generally kind of an optimist. So I know, like, Padres Twitter is like the more pessimistic side and the optimistic side. I've always been more of an optimist, so I feel like we can match up well. I honestly feel like I don't know if this is the real team, right? It's a short sample size. It's only been a couple months, right? Maybe our hitters aren't actually as good as they've been doing, but if they are, we match up with the Dodgers, man. I really think so. We got Clement. Oh man, it's so exciting. I cannot believe. Like, I walk around town with my Padres hat and I just like look around for anybody who wants to talk baseball with me because I'm so excited about this team. It's really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and this year we can walk around with our Padres hats on and not be embarrassed, you know.
Yeah. And it's not just that they're performing well, it's also the colors, right?
The color. Well, I love the brown and gold.
Yeah, it's love fabulous.
And actually, the actual colors of it is chocolate brown and yellow mustard.
Mm, yeah. It's like, when I wear it, I'm just like, yeah, I'm proud to be a Padres fan. It's really, honestly, not a feeling I've had for, I don't know, since forever, actually.
Oh, I know, because I had to always apologize for being a Mets fan. With the Yankees and their success, throughout baseball history. Yeah. You don't like the Yankees? No. I'm a Mets fan. Why? Well, that's the first game I went to Mets. I liked their uniforms better. I thought the Yankee uniforms were kind of bland and stuff. I didn't like that the Yankee uniforms never have the name of the player on the back. So I like the Mets uniforms better, and that was that. Now I really like our new uniforms. Now, one player, I forget who it is, he said, and I think it was one off the Rockies, maybe. I just can't recall right now, but he said that our uniforms look like silk pajamas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I like them. It looks good. The hats look good. And it's good to have that new look on the new team that we have. And I think that adds into their pride as players playing for the Padres, you know, having new uniforms, having new colors, and et cetera, et cetera. And having Tatis and Manny Machado on the team are really great things for me. Because they're so enthusiastic and they're the first ones to be out there at home plate. If somebody hits a good hit, like the winning run the other night where Profar got the hit and Mateo came in, they were one of the first two people out there to greet him. You know, that says a lot about them and how they motivate the team. What do you think about Manny Machado?
Machado, when they signed him the first time, or when we got the news, I was like literally in tears. I was like, I was just amazed. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, you know, he has a bad reputation. I have one friend who is a Giants fan. He constantly texts me about, he's like, oh, I like the Padres, but except for Manny Machado. He's just always, except for Manny Machado, blah, blah, blah. But I honestly think that, okay, yeah, he's been a little bit immature in his past, probably. But you know what? Like, who hasn't been immature, right?
And these are kids. These aren't, adults. It's not like me. I'm 57 years old. So, you know, I can have a little bit more maturity than maybe a 20-year-old kid is going to have. But as far as what people have to say about him, because I didn't really know much about Manny Machado, you know, before he came to the Padres, because he played for the Baltimore Orioles, then the one season with the Dodgers, and just, you know, he wasn't really on my radar. So I'm getting to know Manny Machado from his time here now with the Padres, and I'm seeing, a really good guy. And I see somebody that hustles when he has to hustle. You know, I don't believe that. Oh, he didn't hustle, you know. Well, if you're going to hit something, you hit a hit right to the second baseman, you know. There's no point in turning on the gas and running like the devil, you know, if you're going to be thrown out anyhow.
Yeah, and they have those, some studies that show, like, those players that are considered, like, they don't hustle or whatever, but they actually play more because they don't get injured as much, right? So that's part of it. And Manny plays every single day, right? You got to appreciate him for his dedication to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And just the stories you hear about him interacting with fans and different things like that. It's like, okay, this guy's a good guy, you know? Sure, maybe he gets overly excited sometimes. Maybe he gets a little bit angry sometimes. He has some passion, but that's good too, right?
Yeah.
Might come out in a little bit weird ways sometimes, but, you know, hey, he's on my team. That's all I care about, right?
Right. We've got him. The Dodgers don't have him, and it's a good thing. You know, he came through last night as well with a couple of timely hits, you know, that brought him more
runs. He's hitting well too. It's awesome. I really love it.
And traditionally, Manny Machado, from what I understand, has slow starts. And what I tried to remind people was that this is a 60-game season. You know, now, if it was the regular season, we'd be like, with the number of games that we played, we'd be in like May, maybe.
Yeah.
So, you know, he would have all that other time to start heating up. And that's what we get with it. One of my pet peeves, though, you mentioned getting hurt, is Tatis sliding head first. That scares me every time I see him do that, because there's so much potential for, you know, a hurt finger, broken hand, you know, something else that happens, and we don't need him injured. If I was the manager, I'd make it mandatory that nobody head first slid. You slide in, you know, spikes up, which I think is better, because it you played second base. You know, if a kid came with his spikes flying up at you sliding in, you'd be a little bit nervous and maybe not make the play. So that's why I think about that. What do you think about head first sliding?
Yeah, I don't know why they do it. Supposedly, it's not actually faster, but maybe it has something to do with, but they all do it. That's the thing, right? So I don't want to be the person sitting on the outside, because I don't play ball, right? So I don't want to be the player. I know better than you, but I agree with you. I don't see the reason. So maybe it's because they want to be able to maneuver their hands to avoid the tag or something like that, but I have no idea why. Yeah, it would seem like it's way safer to slide feet first, I would think, but I don't know.
Yeah, it does, because, well, like I said, that scares me every time I see him do that, because we don't need him injured.
He's had finger injuries, right? Now he wears the oven mitt, so that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
But he literally injured his fingers, I think it was when he was still in AA, right?
Yeah, he did.
On one of those slides.
Yep, and that's why I cringe when I see him doing that. But the oven mitts will help. He can slide into second base with the oven mitts, and then when he gets off base, he can go back in the clubhouse and take the cake out of the oven.
That's true. They have a lot of armor that they wear these days.
Yeah, which is good. You know, you want to be protected, especially if you're up on the plate facing a pitcher that's sending a 99 mile per hour fastball at you, you know, aiming for your arm.
Do you think Tatis is getting thrown at? He's like constantly getting brushed off the plate, almost hit, and sometimes he gets hit, right?
Yeah.
I feel like they're always throwing at him.
I've noticed that. They're pitching him way inside and stuff and brushing him off the plate. I think it's just to I don't think they're purposely throwing at him to injure him or throw at him to be rotten baseball players, but I think they're throwing him inside to get him back off the plate, because when he's where he usually is, that's when he has the most success hitting the ball.
Yeah, make him feel uncomfortable. But they don't do that to some of the other hitters, right? So I don't know why him. Is that his weakness?
I don't know. That's a good question. Something to ponder tonight when we watch tonight's game. So what do you think? Yeah. Let's make a prediction. Do you think we're going to sweep the Colorado Rockies?
They got tonight, and is that it? Or
yeah, that's it. And then we have a
four-game
set with the San Francisco Giants.
I don't think we're going to sweep the Giants. I think we might even, because the Giants seem to be playing well.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true.
I feel like the Rockies have given up already. Doesn't it look like it?
Yeah, kind of, or at least against us. You know, we're not, the Padres are no longer that easy team, you know, to sit back and say, well, okay, the Padres are coming, we're playing them, this is going to be easy peasy, you know, maybe we'll lose one game, but we'll win the series. Now it's like, oh my God, the Padres are coming.
I know. It's like when we played the Dodgers, right? But now it's like the Padres are that strong. I literally feel like this line, I look at this lineup every day, I'm like, I just cannot believe this is the Padres lineup.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even in the good years when we were like playing well, like it was always pitching.
Mm-hmm.
We never had a good lineup. And now this year, it's like this lineup is we're one of the top offenses in the league. It's crazy. I'm like, am I in a dream right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got to pinch myself, too, you know, because it's the second best team in the National League, the Padres, you know. But, you know, this is why, you know, having a good, deep farm system is beneficial to a team. And the Padres have done it the right way, you know. And when AJ Preller made all those moves he made a couple of weeks ago, in last week's show, I mentioned that it's kind of like having money in the bank. You put it in the savings account and you save and you save and you save, but eventually you've got to use some of it or it's just totally useless sitting there. So if you spend a few $1,000s on a trip or something, you know, to spend some of the money, you still have money left in the bank from your savings. And that's how it is with our prospects down in triple A and double A and single A ball. We still have a lot of great prospects that'll come up for the future. And I think he's done a fantastic job as far as I'm concerned.
He's AJ just been stockpiling that talent, right? And as I said, sometimes I feel like I don't even, we know like maybe the top, 10 to 20 guys.
Right.
If you're pretty, like, if you follow the Padres pretty well, you probably know the top 20 guys or so. But there's probably, like, I'm thinking Preller probably has a lot of gems in the, you know, 20 to 40 range of ranked up prospects that we don't even know about that are going to come up and be good prospects eventually. And we could trade them or they could come up and play for us. It's going to be awesome.
It really is. It really is. And I don't see that we need too much more on this team. You know, we don't.
That's the amazing thing. That's going to be the team looks pretty complete, right?
Yeah. I just wish Moreland would click in a little bit. He did a little bit last night, but I'd like to see him do, you know, what he did in Boston.
I think
Mitchie two base or whatever they called him.
Yeah, exactly. I think all like Nola, Moreland, and Clevinger, when they first came out after the trades, they're all kind of a little shaky or whatever. But Nola, he seems to be getting on track, and hopefully Moreland will get there too. Clevinger had a really good game yesterday too. So if those three like really start hitting their stride, man, this team's going to be completely unstoppable. The only thing is we lost Hosmer, so that's a little bit unfortunate.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a bummer. I don't know what he was doing bunting like that. I think Jace Tingler didn't tell him to do that. You know,
I feel like maybe Jace was like, maybe we'll need bunts sometime in the playoffs. Let's just practice them. Something like that, you know?
I don't think he told him to do it. I think he did that on his own.
Oh, really?
Because Tingler was in his press conference. I don't know if he said he didn't tell him exactly, but that's the impression I got. That's
strange. He did it himself. Why would he do that?
Yeah, with the count that he had, it just didn't make any sense. So we lost Hosmer, but hopefully we'll get him back. You know, he's on the 10-day DL or IL. They call it IL now, not DL. And hopefully we'll get him back in time for the series with the Dodgers. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, they thought he could possibly come back in 2 weeks. That's really fast. Yeah. Right?
It depends on how the bones heal and the pain level, you know, what he can tolerate for that, because he can't really go and pop an oxycodone before a game, or he'll just, you know, lay down and take a nap on home plate. But like I said, I'm looking forward to the Dodgers series, basically to win a couple of games and shut those people up. I've spent my whole time here. Now, I moved here in 1999 after the 1999 season, so the 2000 season was my first Padres season. And since that time, you know, I've had to put up with Dodgers fans, you know, not the ones that follow me. You guys are cool, but other ones that had to point out how lousy the Padres are and how superior the Dodgers are. And I just want to beat the tar out of that team in at least one game, you know, like a game like last night, you know, 14 to something.
Yeah. That would be really awesome. I remember in 96, I think it was like, it didn't matter because both the Padres and the Dodgers were going to get into the playoffs no matter what. But it was like, I think we were two games back, and if we swept the Dodgers, we would win the division. And then we swept the Dodgers. I remember that. That was like one of the, I went to like, I think the second game in that series. That's what I want to do to the Dodgers. It might not matter for playoffs and all that, but it'd be so fun to beat them. I don't know what it is.
That would be fantastic. Fantastic. Just beat the tar out of the Dodgers. All right, here comes the music. We're out of time right now for the podcast and the show. Thank you, Daniel, for coming on the program. Much luck and success with the new church. I'll keep you in my prayers and good thoughts for that. All right, we're done. We're finished. And we'll have another podcast for you next week with a special female guest. Right now, just take care, be safe, and keep it lit.